She you can tell she's digging it. you see. Mostly by the fact that her clothes literally explode off of her.
Welcome, anime fans and foes, to Steve and Kevin Watch Anime So You Don't Have To. My name is Kevin.
My name is Steve.
And I'm Jimmy.
What? Steve? What? What?
Where'd you come from, Jimmy?
Oh, we got a guest. We got a new guy. Listeners, we've all been drinking a little bit, except for Steve, who doesn't drink. But
I've been eating Chef Boyardee, so it's like the same thing.
I've been so excited that we've got a new guest. We have our first guest ever. It's Jimmy Nottish.
First guest.
One of my favorite people in the entire world.
First time animator,
Jimmy Nottish. He is flanked by not one, but two 40-ounce malt liquor beverages.
First, the King Cobra, and then to follow it up, the Old English.
And we forced him to watch anime with us, but I'm thinking maybe it was a pretty good anime.
He's our target audience. He's our target audience.
Maybe.
Right? I mean, anime so you don't have to.
That's me.
Yeah. Jimmy has never watched an episode of anime before this one, which was...
What?
That was supposed to lead to you saying. Oh, God. Have you been drinking?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. The anime we watched this week was Food Wars, Shokugeki no Soma.
What was that?
Shokugeki no Soma.
Okay.
Jimmy, how was your week? How are you doing? What's your mental state right now?
Getting a pretty good buzz on. That's how I'm doing.
All right.
And he's got a whole nother 40
and
to go.
I got a whole nother 40 to go.
Jimmy, I'm going to grill you a little bit. I'm going to ask you some questions.
Shoot
them. I'm not going to pull any punches. So, like, even though we're friends, like, just prepare yourself, all right?
Yeah.
So, what is your relationship with anime? Like, have you really watched, like, no other, like, anime before this?
I've never seen a frame of anime in
Not like the Pokemon cartoon.
Not even Pokemon.
Not Dragon Ball. Everybody's seen Dragon Ball. Nothing.
No.
Okay. So
I think Pokemon.
As a child.
Weird.
Awesome.
I think also awesome. No, I think Pokemon was the one that should, like, if that didn't hit, nothing's hit.
So
because that's what everyone, like, when you say I've never watched anime, they're like, but you watched Pokemon as a kid, and they're like, well, yeah, but that doesn't count. And I'm like, actually, that exactly counts.
Jimmy,
but Jimmy hasn't even done that.
I missed that bullet too.
That's all right.
Knowing that I'm welcoming some casual racism with this question, what are three stereotypes that you know about Japan, just off the top of your head?
Rice.
Yep.
Pearl Harbor. and short people.
Wow. Okay. All right. That's
not as bad as I was
surprisingly
expecting.
Surprisingly,
give me another 40.
We'll we're asking that question again at the end. Before we sign off, Jimmy, give us three more.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you brought up rice first, because Shokugeki no Soma is all about food.
All about food.
They kind of open with, like, a weird dish, and each episode kind of focuses on a different dish.
I should have interjected a second ago, but I didn't want to stop you.
Yeah.
So now we'll get right back into that.
Yeah.
You asked the question, three stereotypes of Japan. Give me three things when you think, and when you've always heard anime, what you think anime, what contains in the anime? Like, what three things are the first things that you think of when you hear the word anime?
What do you got, Jimmy?
Honestly, those three things, again.
Right, Rice, Pearl Harbor.
All I know about anime is Japanese.
That's fine.
And those are my three Japanese words.
All right.
That's
fair.
That's it.
Then that question is moot, but anyway, we'll move on.
I'm going to tell a little story.
All right.
When Steve and I were first coming up with the idea for Anime So You Don't Have To, I wanted to have a segment called Jimmy's Corner. And this is real. I wanted to have a segment called Jimmy's Corner.
This is real.
Where Jimmy,
I forgot about this.
Where Jimmy would watch an anime drunk, and just monologue for, like, maybe 30 seconds about what he saw. Like, not even, like, an opinion, just, like, a recap of the anime to the best of his knowledge. I might put you to that. I might ask you, like, what events occurred.
All right.
And to interpret them through your lens. But I'm gonna come clean. I love this anime. I'm up to date on this anime. It's currently in its second season. And I've been keeping up with it every week. It starts off with a strong sort of sexual, kind of energy, and that sort of backs off slightly as it ages.
Okay. That's good, because yeah. That's a little, like, overwhelming.
They're trying to be really bombastic in the first episode.
Yeah, which I get. Like, but it is a ridiculous over-the-top show about cooking.
Yeah, and we'll get to, like, the weird, sexual metaphors that are running through it. But, yeah, Steve, this is the first time you've seen?
First time.
And Jimmy, obviously, first anime ever. First time you've seen it. Do you guys want to dive? I don't have any vital stats, because, like, I feel like this is actually a pretty popular anime. It's in the top five on Crunchyroll pretty much every week. It's new. I think the manga is new, too. It's sort of, it's just sort of like a new phenomenon, and I really quite enjoy it. And I like...
It was fun.
I like shonen. It is very fun. I like shonen anime a lot. Jimmy, shonen anime is anime targeted at young men. That's about it.
So... That explains all the tits and ass that we saw in that.
Yeah. Well, we did see a lot of tits and ass, but also we saw some abs and some
we did.
And some
we
dude did. Grundle and some dude booty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did.
Like,
they shared the wealth.
The right amount of dude grundle.
Yeah.
They shared the wealth.
It was overwhelmingly boobs and butts and vajays, but
till you met the goons.
Till you met the goons. And for fans of Stephen Cavill watch anime, so you don't have to. We love goons.
Always F1 goons.
I'm gonna. Oh, I've been meaning to do this every episode, but I always forget. I feel like good podcasts introduce their structure, like, along with their name, and, like, not everyone knows that we watch the first two episodes of anime and then decide. So our structure is: we watch the first episode of an anime, we talk about it, we decide if we like it or not, and then we move on to the next episode after a short break, and then we talk about that and give it a final rating.
Unless it's Monster Musume.
Unless it's Monster Musume, which is, Jimmy, that's an anime about fucking half monster, half women.
Wait, it's about fucking half monster, half
women? Well, it's about the government
you
says...
You just used fucking as, like, a space holder there. Because it's a very clear distinction.
No, that was meant to be a verb, not an adjective.
All
right. But it's more about the government says, under no circumstances...
No
can
fucking.
You,
can, no fucking, no.
Yeah.
Can you have
the government comes out and says...
People do it anyway, because they're Japanese.
They tried to. It was one of the worst things I've ever seen with my eyes.
So we've got our...
bold statement.
We've got
yeah,
our...
I know.
We've got our requisite... bringing up Monster Musume, we'll see if we can shoot a Prince of Tennis jab in there.
Yep, and then we'll talk about how great Gangsta is.
Yeah. So, like, shonen anime, like, take a lot of different forms. In the like late 90s, they were all... We've got a cat here that Jimmy's been trying to get drunk all night.
He literally is.
He is not a fan of King Cobra.
He just wants to lap it out of your hand.
I think he does, but he runs away.
When we start on the old English. Okay. Well, see if he likes
it. He's an old English man. That's more classic 40s.
You guys are the first, like, men I've ever known to, like, automatically gender a cat male. Like, most people, like, gender cats female, like, no matter, like, what.
I'm a strong all animals are male kind of guy.
Interesting.
Just.
Yeah. No, that's a... Houdini's a lady cat, even though she's got a boy name. But whatever.
See, that was,
yeah. She gets drunk the same.
Yeah. Even easier. She's a cheap thing.
We're not.
And it's because she's a lady, it's faster.
Yeah.
That's just science.
So, let's get into that anime. Alright, so episode 1 of Food Wars Shokugeki no Soma, An Endless Wasteland. That's the name of the...
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah, it's called... episode 1 is called An Endless Wasteland. We open with the word disgusting.
Disgusting.
As our protagonist, Soma, is cooking squid tentacles with peanut butter.
Yep.
On, like, the most adorable little charcoal grill in the entire world.
Yeah, right outside the shop.
I feel like if we're going to take anything from that is I want a portable charcoal grill like that.
Correct.
Like, that, I can see that coming in to use in so many different ways.
It's like one of them cooking grills.
Yeah.
What? Camping grills. Thanks.
Yeah, one of them cooking grills.
Thanks, Old English.
One of them cooking grills. But I haven't even yet.
Steve's getting a contact drink from us.
I think I am.
We are.
I wouldn't be surprised.
We are introduced to the major visual metaphor right away, which is when Mayu, a young woman, takes a bite of two different
piles. Call her a child. Which was the weird part for me. But continue.
She's a middle schooler about to enter high school. So, yes.
Yep. She's a child.
As far as the law is concerned, that's a child.
That's a child.
But continue.
But age of consent is much weirder in Japan, as you'll find out. Not that that makes
Japan's
anything
a little more rapey than the U.S.,
yes.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make anything okay. Like, it doesn't make anything less shocking or weird. It's just like one of those hurdles you gotta get over is like, in Japan, it's like, oh, you're 14? You're an adult.
14? Did.
It's like, you can have sex with anyone and you can start making decisions about your family's career. It is weird. We get introduced to Soma and his main conflict with his father. Like they're both chefs. Soma's been cooking at the diner where he works his whole life, but he's never beaten his father once as far as cooking goes.
489 times.
That's right.
Jimmy might be a little more lucid than I give him credit for.
Look at that. Let him finish that 40.
I got it.
He's got it.
No. From
if anything, the 40 will help me.
It's true.
From there, we get some booty pop as, like, we're introduced a little bit to, like, when, all right, in this universe, when food is delicious, the background turns shiny golden, mm-hmm. and you start, like...
Shiny golden, and, like, the food that they're eating is, like, laid, like kind of in the background.
Yeah. And you start kind of...
It's, like, all yellow, and it's moving it around, and it's weird.
You kind of start shaking what you got.
Yep. Booty pop.
Yep. Booty pop. And
you literally just start, they just kind of shake in their chair.
Boobs start moving on their own. Yep. That's another thing we saw. Mm-hmm. It's just mm-hmm. like, they get different ideas. I'm like, one's going to go up and the other's going to go down. And like, that's just when you eat delicious food is like, you have a little O, or unless it's
literally
really good.
A baby when she was a child. Again. Yeah. Baby O.
It's not good.
It's not bad.
We get a little insight into how peanut butter is pronounced in Japanese.
Oh, I missed that. How did I miss that?
Peanut soup butter. And it's used in a menacing sort of context.
Like bad.
Because peanut butter and squid tentacles, apparently not a good match.
Full disclosure, this was completely on me, but I walked into this not at all expecting subtitles, which I should have seen coming all the way.
I'm sorry, man.
No. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Next episode might be a little hard because you're running low on your current 40. So like,
I have refills, Kevin. Yeah.
But I feel like there's a lot of visual storytelling going on. Like, you can get the gist of shit.
If anything, I'll see two of them.
Yeah.
And then it's double the visual storytelling.
You get to read it twice. We get an opening where
it was a deep opening too. It was deep into the episode already.
Yeah, you pointed that out that like, yeah, they take a lot of time. They cold open and they take a lot of time just to establish these characters. Yeah. And
different from what we've seen.
I like this anime a lot, and I like this first episode a lot, because, so Pixar has, like, this guide to good storytelling, which you can kind of take it or leave it, but, like, Pixar movies kind of follow the same sort of pattern, which is, like, it starts out, like, every day for all of history, this same thing happened. So, like, every day, like, Soma cooks food with his dad,
mm-hmm.
they have a fight, Soma loses. Every day, this thing happens. Until one day, something different happens and everything changes. And then that's, like, the inciting incident, which we'll kind of learn about later. But, like, from the opening, we learn a little bit more about Soma. We learn a little bit more about boob physics in this universe.
Yep.
We learn that Soma's in middle school. And we also see Soma get threatened by some land shark goons.
Yeah.
So it's a group of menacing-looking people in suits, headed by a purple-haired woman with
with tits the mind of the, with the mind of its own.
Which,
again, by the way, I've never seen tits that big on an Asian woman.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. But I like that anime. They're like
they're compensating. Yeah. They're compensating in new and interesting ways.
Yeah.
One of the weird things I think you'll notice, I think maybe coming up in the next episode, is that Westerners, like the same way like we would caricaturize like Japanese people, like Westerners get caricaturized a lot, like in weird ways, like our eyelashes are super blonde and like
always blonde hair.
Yeah, always Westerners. Blonde hair. Always a million feet tall. Always got a huge rack.
Yeah,
like Westerners are like. Are like, yeah, you guys always are weird and way too forward, and like it's interesting seeing the stereotypes of Americans Europeans like turn back on us. It's kind of cool. We also got all right. Yeah, we're on the goons, and yes. Like
goon squad.
Don't worry, these guys don't show up ever again. They're episode one.
They don't even say anything. I don't remember them ever saying anything. I think they just stay in the background.
Apart from Point Woman, who is just sort of like threatening to buy out the diner if
they don't comply.
If they don't comply. Like, I feel like this is a very sort of samurai or cowboy style opening. It's like the law moves in and they're like or a bandit group or whatever moves in.
They had music, like some menacing music playing in the background too.
The music is good. I'm not gonna like call it memorable, but it definitely sets a tone.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you get that these guys are kind of a threat. You get that maybe they see these type of people a lot. And as you go forward in the anime, the conflict between, like, the upper and lower class kind of makes itself apparent. Especially, like, when Soma goes back to his hometown. There's a whole episode later that's just making omelets for people. And it's the most intense, like, 22 minutes of anime I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, the omelet episode is nuts.
All right.
All right. We're not even at the food yet. Let's get to the gotcha pork roast.
Gotcha pork roast.
Gotcha.
The gotcha pork roast is the food focus of this anime. When Soma comes home from middle school, his dad says he's closing shop for the day. Soma thinks that's weird. He comes home. All the food is destroyed.
Yep. All the meat.
All the meat. And all he has for ingredients are the things he bought for breakfast the next morning. The land shark lady comes in and says, give me the juiciest meat dish you have, or
she comes, well, first she comes in, she's like, oh, what happened here? It's like, I don't even know what happened. I need juicy meat.
Being a total dick about it.
Because their conversation before was, you know, him saying, like, as long as there's a customer, we're in business.
And right.
As long as we satisfy customers, we're in business. So then she comes back, and she destroys the place, clearly, and she plays dumb, and then she's like, I want juicy meat. But she destroyed all the meat, so she's up to something.
Yeah. So
she's like, yo, give me the meat. And he's like, I got this.
Yeah. There's a great moment where he, like, rips the headband off his wrist and he puts it on his head.
Which was awesome.
And he's like, fuck you.
They're, like, 12 feet long. Yes! Just kept going.
It's so cool, though. It's great how self-aware this kind of is, because it kind of knows how ridiculous.
It definitely does.
But
definitely.
That doesn't mean it doesn't give it like the gravitas.
It was badass.
Yeah,
he like fucking whips off the 12-foot headband, wraps it on his head, and pulls out a knife, and he's like, "Let's fucking rumble.
We're rumbling."
Yeah.
He
even said, "What did he say? Like the battle is on.
The food battle's on, or something like that." Yeah. There's just a really cool like. There's a lot of cool style choices. One of them is like the sex metaphor for food, which like, okay, you're dealing with a medium that's primarily visual and audio. Like, you gotta find a way to portray that food is delicious through like limited means. So like, I get the sexual thing. Show tits. Like, I've eaten steak before. Like when I went to college and I didn't come home for a few months, my freshman year. And then, like, my parents took me out for, like, a steak or something at, like, Texas Roadhouse. And, like, I cried because the steak was so delicious. And I'd just been eating, like, whole wheat cold fish for a whole month.
Yeah.
At least it's whole wheat.
Like, food, like, it, it emphasizes that food does have, like, kind of a psychological effect
yeah.
on us. And I think now's a good time. I need to bring up, like, one of the points I've been thinking about for a while is that, like, okay, let's compare this to other anime where, like, there's a sexual aspect, right? Like, what was the, How to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
So we watched this anime called How to Pick Up Girls in, or Is It Wrong?
Is it, oh yes.
Is it wrong to pick up girls in a dungeon? It's about...
No, is the short answer.
See, that could have been a much shorter anime.
Yeah.
If someone had the courage.
I'll write it. Yeah. I'll do it. It's not wrong. It's just easy.
Yeah.
They can't get away.
It's...
I mean, he's not wrong.
I'm not.
It's not wrong to pick up girls in a dungeon.
It's not. It's not.
But like the there's this sort of like weird sexual aspect to that where like every girl is into the main character.
Yeah.
And like the camera is kind of pervy and will like zoom in on boobs and butts and stuff.
And he like doesn't know what to do about it because he's you know.
And it's not really doing anything. It's just like here's a story and completely separate from that is some is like. A pervy camera and some bouncing boobs and stuff. Yeah. Just to keep you interested.
And then it goes back to this dude killing stuff in a dungeon, and it's awesome.
Yeah. And we're like, just give us the cool stuff. We can look up literally anything on the internet.
We don't need your drawn boobs.
We have yeah. the technology we have to the technology. See real ones.
Yeah.
Not, we're not going to see them in real life.
No,
absolutely. We're watching right. anime.
And then podcasting about it, which is
yeah, yeah because yeah. we don't see boobs in real life. But
right.
we can see them online.
This is true.
But we can see them online. And, like, I think because, like, they're showing boobs thinking that we're not going to be interested enough in the dungeon crawling or whatever, is it's insecure and it kind of feels patronizing. It's like, well, maybe I don't want to look at boobs for once in my life.
Maybe I just want a dungeon crawl.
I have never thought that, ever. Well, I mean, I can see, I get where you're coming from with the patronizing thing, but I've never thought that to myself.
All right, that's
fair. I don't want to look at boobs.
Animated boobs, at least.
Yeah, no, I've definitely thought that.
Yeah, it's like, I could go for real boobs.
I'll be honest, when you're trolling the interwebs looking for porn and you stumble upon anime, you get mad.
Maybe you do.
Well, maybe after today I won't.
For once, I don't have to think that's someone's daughter.
That's probably excitement for me.
Oh, this is going to be an episode.
Oh, yeah.
We're still on Gotcha Pork Roast, and we're yep. still on the major visual yep. metaphor. But I just think it's better that, like the boobs and butts and weird sexual undertones are actually serving a purpose. And that's to remind us that food is sort of like this indulgent,
yes.
pleasurable thing when it's done right. And there's also a weird rape allegory when it's done wrong.
Like, yeah, the tentacle rape thing with the peanut butter.
Movie. See, you do know a fourth thing about Japan.
Tentacle rape. I've stumbled upon enough anime porn to know that tentacle rape is a thing.
Yeah. And it goes back. Like, you can find wood carving. There's like a really old wood carving called The Dream of the Fisherman's Wife that's, like, an octopus having sex
with But, like, we've got our own, like, American... Like, you've seen Evil Dead. We've got tree rape.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Same thing. We have our weird nature rape.
America is just as fucked up as Japan.
Well, hey! No. It's not. I thought that before. Now I've seen an episode of this, and I know that for sure. It's not. It might be close, but it's not.
It's just a different kind of fucked up.
And we're more used to the kind of fucked up America is.
It's
like,
true.
I feel. But, like, yeah, we rip on Japan for being weird a lot. And I just want to say that everyone's weird.
It's true.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true.
We just sort of get used to the weirdness of...
Yeah, that's true. We've got our own weird, and we yeah. like it.
It's like, oh, even in America, like... If you ever meet, like, people from, like, the South, like, we're all based in Massachusetts, but, like, if you ever meet people from the South, they're, like, so friendly, and they make so much eye contact, and, like,
you're like, what are you doing?
They're, like,
what do you want?
They'll, like, Stop. Touch you on the shoulder. Stop. Like, in Massachusetts, that shit doesn't happen.
Touch me on the shoulder, you look me in the eyes, we're having sex.
Yeah. that's real.
Like, yeah.
All right.
Gotcha Pork Roast.
Yeah, we're at the Gotcha Pork Roast.
We're still
which,
there.
By the way, looks delicious.
It does.
It does.
They
it really does.
Starting an episode on bacon, perfect. That's mm-hmm. all you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the Gotcha Pork Roast is a bacon-wrapped mashed potato sort of faux pork roast. It's got oregano. It's got this weird, like, deglazed pan sauce thing that they use.
Red wine.
Yeah, red wine, sake. Like, they go through the whole recipe. And all this stuff, you can actually, like, find the recipe for and make, which is, like, kind of cool. If, like, you're like, that looks really good. Oh, their recipe is online, and I can actually make that.
Hmm.
Like, either the fans have put it together,
yeah,
or it's in the manga.
Nice.
And I learned, like, there's, like, the next episode I have the recipe for, and we'll watch that later. We'll watch that next. But, like, next episode recipe strikes me as super delicious. And I looked at the recipe, and Japanese recipes are way easier to follow than American recipes.
Huh. They got that right.
Yeah.
I would expect them to be in Japanese and very difficult to
follow. No, well, the way it's translated to English, and the way they're organized is, like, super easy to follow. It's like, they separate it into, like, different parts, so it's like three smaller recipes, and then it just all kind of comes together. It's cool.
Huh. There you go.
Anyway, there's an epic fork grab when the gotcha pork roast makes the scene,
mm-hmm.
where, like, it's a good 45 seconds of someone's trembling hand reaching for a fork to try a piece of the pork roast.
This pork roast that smells delicious.
Yeah.
Straight up delicious.
Straight up delicious. And again, the way they convey that something smells good in this anime, or something tastes good, is just, like, you feel it.
Yeah.
I feel it.
It's like, I mean, they did it at later on. They did, like, when he brought the pork roast back. And they did, like,
walking past the goons.
Yeah, when he was going past the goons. And it's fucking the smell tornado.
Oh, my God.
Smell-nado over there.
So, like, first he denies it to them. He's like, well, if you don't like it, then I'm just going to take it away. And they're like, no. Which is more like, it sort of places, like, chefs and customers in, like, a sadomasochistic role, I guess. Like, or an S&M role.
Yeah, like, please give me more.
Please give me more, yeah. Like, that line sort of echoes out, as do the many many references to meat juice.
Yeah, so much meat juice.
And juicy meat, and yeah. There's such a, like, sexual mm-hmm. connotation to everything.
After they try it, you know, for the second time, and their clothes explode off.
Yeah.
And
It rains
meat juice, man.
I mentioned, like, in the opening credits that every chef kind of has a theme that they mm-hmm. ascribe to. We saw a guy with a chainsaw, and his thing, like, is that he gets wood chips and smokes everything he makes.
That's awesome.
To include, like, a different kind of flavor.
Chainsaw guy.
Chainsaw guy is pretty dope. But we kind of learn Soma's deal, which is he learns from his mistakes. And, like, he says, like, he came up with this dish after he misplated something. And, like, the pork juice dripped over into, like, the mashed potato side.
Yep.
And that became something new and interesting. So, like, and we see him in the beginning making peanut butter squid tentacles. And that's sort of, like, he'll intentionally just sort of make something bad in order to learn from it.
Yeah.
So Soma's strength is that he's improvisational, he learns from mistakes, and he's good at, like, just sort of keeping his head up and keeping going and learning. So, like, that'll come into play later. But it's something important to take note of.
Of course.
I have meat juice with many exclamation points written down, like, three times.
Yep.
Because when they finally get, like, their mouthful of the gotcha pork roast, they're just fucking wilding out. Jimmy, describe the scene to me. Use your most poetic voice.
All right. So, they finally get their gotcha pork roast.
Yep.
Whatever her name is, big titty lady.
Yes.
Takes a bite. You can tell she's digging it. you see it. Mostly by the fact that her clothes literally explode off of her.
Yes. Yep.
There's a lot of moaning, a lot of sexy kind of things.
Yep.
And, the goons never even tasted it, did they?
No, they did.
They all got fork.
They all got a fork and rushed it. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So that's where the dude Grundle came in that we were talking about earlier. A lot of dude Grundle, their clothes all ripped off.
Some hearty abs going on.
Hearty, yeah. One guy had like a 14 pack.
Yeah, and then there's like the kind of chubby short guy.
Yeah.
Who they in the when as the clothes are flying off and meat juices were flying out from their private parts. He was wrapped in the kite string?
Oh, the kite string? Oh.
Kite string that was wrapped in the pork roast.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
I
didn't see that either.
Oh my
That's
god.
Nice.
Yep. Chubby guy wrapped in kite string because he's a pork roast.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
I've watched this episode maybe like 5 times, and I never.
Oh, that. Really? Yeah. Damn.
That's awesome.
That's the first thing I noticed. I was like, that's great.
Yeah. I show a lot of people this episode just because I think it's great.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was good. Is that all, Jimmy? Can you remember anything else?
Well, you brought up the meat juice exploding.
It's from true. They did. Well, they got like sucked up in the yeah. meat tornado, and yeah. then they just kind of rained meat juice down.
Yeah, they just
out
came,
of their
just out
of their loins.
Out of their loins, dude.
Like straight up.
And like
straight up.
It's funny because it's like it's almost like there's juice exploding out of their loins for modesty's sake. So, like, so you don't actually have to show a vagina. There's just, like, meat juice exploding right. out of a vagina.
Yep.
Like, you get the idea.
You get the idea.
You know what's going on.
You see
on.
What yeah. we're going for here.
If you haven't already opened up Food Wars Sokugeki no Soma in a new tab, like...
You're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong.
So later... they've been defeated. They all have the post-com look on their face.
Mm-hmm.
The goons are gone.
Clothes are back on.
Clothes
are back on.
Clothes just mysteriously came back.
Yeah, that was clearly a visual metaphor.
Yep.
Not, it didn't actually
they
happen.
They didn't literally get sucked up in a meat tornado.
No, but what we were meant to understand is
it was really good food.
As if they were sucked up in a meat tornado.
And all
of their clothes got ripped off by the meat juices.
Yeah. We cut to the next day. Soma is cleaning up the sign that they trashed, and
yep.
it's implied they fixed up the restaurant a little bit. His dad shows up and is like, "Hey, guess what? I'm closing down the restaurant."
Dad
he's
burn.
Like, "What the fuck?"
Apologize to your son first.
Yep.
Like, the dad is totally just like, guess what?
Guess what? I'm negligent.
I got a better
deal with it.
I got a better job off or so.
Later, son.
He's literally like, "I'm leaving. I'll send you money." It's
yeah,
like,
it's great.
It's good, Dad.
So he's sent to food boarding school at Totsuki Tea House, which he's like, this is going to be lame. But then he sees that Totsuki Tea House might be more than it appears.
It's literally a castle on top of Spooky Mountain.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Checked out.
So that's the episode. I'm throwing my notes away because we don't fucking need them anymore.
Notes for Ep 2.
I'm grabbing my beer.
You do need that.
Taking a smuggle sip. We're... Oh. That's a good take. That's Jimmy opening his 40.
You hear
40.
That? That's the old English
old
right
English.
There.
That's the old English right there.
I
think that's a good time as any to start Episode 2.
Wait.
Whoa,
Speedy. I just want to...
It was a good cut there. He was ready.
I know, but I just want to pick That's your... Right. I know how I feel about this, but
all right.
I just want to pick your two brains
all right.
about this a little bit longer. Start with Steve.
All right.
Steve, what'd you think? I was a little nervous you wouldn't like this.
I liked it.
Oh, yeah?
I did. I didn't love it, but that's not a bad thing.
No.
I still really enjoyed it. I liked that it didn't take itself too seriously. Like, it's over the top, and it knows that it's over the
yeah.
top. Like you said, like, the boobs and butts I could deal with a little better because it, like, knows how it's, that it's ridiculous.
They have a purpose,
yes.
you know? Like,
whereas,
it's not just like, hey, you have the attention span of an ant. Like,
right.
Well, ants have pretty good attention spans. So
yeah.
kind of
but ants love to see tits, too.
Yeah, that's true.
It's true.
That's why.
But, and, like, visually it was really good when, the whole scene when he was cooking, like, cooking the gotcha pork roast was,
yeah.
like... really stylized and like really sharp, and it was cool. It was really cool.
And like
it was like so, and again, it was like so over the top, but it was like you were like really hyped up about it.
Yeah, with all like the graphic like design stuff, like pointing out like what all the food was as it was going.
Yep, the high angle like
yeah.
shot from like the stove, and like, you know, there it was cool. Like it was nice.
And like I'll watch Guy
nice work.
Guy Fieri and shit just to watch food being cooked. So like this is not
I watch Guy Fieri for hilarity's
you,
sake.
You'll pronounce Guy Fieri correctly.
Isn't it Fieri?
Fieri. I say Fieri.
I've never heard of the guy, so I don't know.
You've never heard of Guy Fieri? Oh, we've got another
listeners. Tell us which one is right, because I'm pretty sure it's Guy Fieri.
No, you're pronouncing it correctly. It's just you're making it way too like credible. Like,
it's true. He's a piece of garbage.
He's a piece of garbage.
But damn, can he cook food?
But damn, can he eat food?
That's true.
Can he find places?
Damn, wait. Damn, can he come up with the worst combinations with the best taste?
I've never seen him actually cook something. I've only actually seen Guy Fieri go to like a diner, drive-in, or dive.
Guy Fieri is—it's like his show.
Yeah. Whoa.
Guy Fieri reminds me of the Patton Oswalt skit that he talks about going to a steakhouse.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Look that up. That's a great bit.
That is a great bit. That's Guy Fieri to me. Fieri, whatever.
Fieri.
That's him to me. He's like, you know what? We're going to stuff corn dogs into a turkey and you're going to like it.
The way you can just rattle a Fieri. Like,
that sounds awesome.
It does sound awesome. Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, that sounds disgusting in one sense, but also delicious in the other sense.
But like,
That's Guy. That's Guy right there.
Getting slightly away from Guy Fieri and Flavor Town. Like, I'm glad you like it.
Yeah.
I think it's very weird, but it doesn't, like, give you any time to second guess, like, the weirdness, you know?
It's
like,
confident.
Yeah, it's confident in how fucking weird it is. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, what are your thoughts? You got anything kicking around your brain about
this? Yeah, I do. Kind of along the same lines as Steve with the food preparation. Like, I hate watching cooking shows. I hate cooking.
Really?
I hate everything to do with food.
Really?
But, like,
besides eating it.
I love eating it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. No. I mean,
we need to make that clear for our listeners. Yeah. We don't have a heathen on our show.
No, I'm not an animal. I mean, I like food. Yeah. I like good food, but I don't want to deal with it.
That's fair.
Like, something about the way that they portrayed the preparation of the food, it was very stylized, very intense, and I don't know, it was intriguing.
It hooks you in.
Yeah.
I liked it.
All right, cool.
As far as
The visuals and like the animation and stuff, did you find it like different from cartoons you'd watch, or like different from stuff you'd normally consume, or like would you watch an anime if it wasn't about cooking and clothes exploding off of people?
After this I would be interested in checking out some more.
Interesting.
I'm not completely turned off to the idea of anime by what I've seen here.
Okay, good.
And this is a like pretty crazy intern. Not as the anime that shall not be named, but like this is on the scale of like the wild end where it's like this is a show about a cooking school.
Right.
And like and how ridiculous it is, like, and how over the top this cooking show and cooking, like, idea of cooking to them is.
I'd say it definitely embraces its strangeness, and it is probably one of the weirdest watchable animes there. You can definitely go far weirder, but, like, For some reason, I just think there's a reason why this is so popular in America and Europe right now. Because, like, it's really engaging. Like,
that's a good way to put it. It is a weirdable, watchable anime.
Weirdable, watchable anime. what is it? Cooking Julia... Julia... Who's the cook? Julia... Child. Julia Child.
There we go. I was going to say Amy Adams, even though I knew that
wasn't
right.
Julie
and Julia, man, come on.
Yeah, okay.
Cooking's a universal language, right?
Yeah.
It's we all need to eat. It's something that unites everybody, and delicious food is something that sort of spans the cultural gap.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like the reason why this is doing so well. Also, it's just really well put together and cool. All right, do you guys want to watch the next episode?
I tried to rush it earlier, and you snapped at me. Is it okay?
Well, I'm still mad, but like,
let's watch the next episode.
Let's watch the next one. All right, we'll be right back with more Shokugeki no Soma. And we're back. We just watched episode 2 of Shokugeki no Soma, God Tongue. Steve, what'd you think?
It was good. It was tense.
Jimmy, what'd you think?
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad?
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of sort of decelerates from the first episode a little bit. Kind of takes its time a little bit more. The stakes don't seem quite so high. But, like, I really like the recipe featured, which is transforming rice.
Yes.
So it's like...
That did sound delicious.
Yeah. So the recipe basically is you make aspic, which is salty chicken-flavored jello.
Yep.
You put that on eggs and you put that on rice. And add a little green onion and then eat that for breakfast. Like, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I mean...
I could probably get behind that. And I have purchased the ingredients for that. And
nice.
I'm hoping to try that later this week. So... I'll let you know how that goes. I'm guessing it's going to be a little harder to do.
You're not going to do it right.
No, I'm not.
Someone's probably a little more experienced than you
well,
are.
Well, he is fictional. He's got that going for him.
He does.
Lowly diner chef.
Yeah.
But we met Erina, who is one of the primary antagonists of the show.
Mm.
And she has perfect taste. And we see she also has a strange way of presenting metaphors.
Hence the god tongue.
Hence, God tongue. And everyone's pretty much afraid of her. But the other thing we see is, like, the class sort of struggle.
Yes.
Like, you can hear us from a diner. And, like, people don't normally think of diners as, like, the place where good cuisine lives. It's
right.
More like where comfort food lives.
It's clearly never been to the Route 9 Diner. Before the rapey things happened and it shut down.
Oh, the Route 9 Diner.
The Route 9 Diner in Hadley.
Were you ever at the Route 9 Diner in Hadley?
No.
That's where...
Get yourself some waffle fry nachos. It's opening back up.
It is?
Yeah.
Waffle fry nachos?
They had some...
What?
Yo.
To put it lightly, they had some management issues. Like...
Rapey man.
Yeah. But
yeah,
like that all got settled, right? Like,
yeah, I mean,
they pretty much took the man.
I think the people responsible probably ended up in jail, and now someone else bought it and it's going to open back up.
Good.
But it's not going to be a 24-hour diner, which I think if you're a diner, that's your responsibility.
So basically, the Route 9 Diner is like this weird little diner island in a strip mall parking lot, which is where you go if you're hungover and you just spend a night at UMass Amherst.
Like, it's 4 in the morning and I'm still drunk and I want some waffle fries covered in cheese and jalapenos and everything that you would expect on nachos, but
wow.
On waffle fries.
That's amazing.
Dude, it's really good. It's one of my favorite diners. Comets is probably my third favorite. Comets in like a...
Tingsboro?
Yeah, in Tingsboro. It's
okay,
probably,
yeah.
It's probably
yeah.
my third. I kind of fell out of love with Paul's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not great.
I'm still a Mart.
I liked the Village Breakfast right down the road here.
Yeah. Well,
Forge Village.
Papa Cole's got a little scheme to buy up that place since no one's using it.
I'm so aroused.
And turn it into like Papa Cole's hot dogs and breakfast or something like that.
Yes.
Like that's his like long-term plan. I'm all about
like that.
But yeah, in the Westford area, there's really not, like, a lot besides Paul's and Comet's.
Mario's.
I've never been to Mario's.
Mario's is pretty good.
I like Mario's.
It was, like, my right after the Village Breakfast.
Oh, yeah?
Mario's is on Route 40. Mario's is good shit.
I think I went to Village Breakfast, like, once, and it sucks because
so
I live right next to it.
They the only thing I didn't like, they mysteriously just would not serve pancakes. Which is like
at
your classic diner food. But there was one woman, like a really old, like Ford Village regular, who just would go there and she would never order, but they would always serve her pancakes.
Yeah.
But like you would ask for pancakes and they'd say, sorry, we don't do that.
But like I got a what I'm getting is
I got
a special place in my heart for diner food.
Me too.
Oh,
and like
absolutely.
The concept of a Japanese diner. Like Japanese food focuses on like savory tasting stuff, so like really meaty or like yeah, savory tasting stuff. They call it umami. I say savory because I'm American.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fucking huge douchebag. But
you're just a little bit.
I'm just a little bit of a douchebag. But like I think the idea of a diner that like really like goes whole hog into savory food is a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But not in Japan. They don't like diners in Japan, apparently.
Well,
or in this anime, in this world.
I feel like in this world, because, like, we see that conflict in the first episode where it's, like, hotel, Western-style food. There's, like, this big... Okay, so, like, Japanese food is so, like, unique because they don't have, like, wheat, you know? So they don't... So beer is, like, a novelty to them. Cake is a novelty to them. Bread is a novelty to them. There's a whole anime called Yakitaka Japan, which is about a tournament to decide what the new bread of Japan will be. But that's, like, the thing, is, like, on the island, like, you know, ever since, you know, World War II, when we Americanized the fuck out of Japan.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. There's been this big divide of, like, Japanese dessert versus American, versus, like, European and American dessert, or Japanese cooking versus European and American cooking. And there are people who will, like, die by Japanese cooking, and there are people who are like, no, American cooking. So, like, there's this weird divide there, and, like, in like, high society, like, traditional Japanese cuisine is kind of seen, I guess, like, we would see Southern food. It's like, yeah, it's delicious, but it's low class.
Right, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like fried everything, you know, or
right.
Like, I'll try catfish, but it's not going to be something that
exactly
I'm into.
Like, bordering on the weird old-fashioned side. That's sort of, like, how they view old-fashioned
By the way, cuisine. Catfish is pretty good.
Is it?
I mean, it's like any other fish.
I like salmon, and I like a good cod. I mean, I like fish, but
catfish, like, it's weird, just, like, I don't know, catfish, they're, like, bottom feeders, they got those weird little tentacle things.
Yeah, they can discharge electricity from their whiskers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they're freaky, but, like, they just kind of taste like fish.
Interesting.
But
I know the way you procure catfish via noodling can be an adventure.
Noodling?
Do you know what noodling is?
No.
Noodling is when you stick your whole arm into a catfish hole.
Oh, yeah.
And attempt to have the catfish clamp down on your arm as you extract the catfish from its...
I've seen that in, like, River Monsters.
Yeah.
Badass.
Yeah, it's like this whole, like, thing. It's like this whole fishing style called
Which
noodling.
I never really understood, because you can also just catch catfish like a normal person on a fishing line, which I've done.
I think...
And they need to get the big ones.
I think it comes from, like, the idea that you don't even need a rod. Like, there's something...
stick my hand in the water.
There's something so primal about just being in a river and, like, reaching into the catfish hole.
Jimmy, I know I bring this up every year, but, like, I like, constantly crave, like, the venison that I get from you. Like...
Yeah.
Because that shit's delicious.
It is good.
And later on...
By the way, the bacon-wrapped thing. My brother made this delicious bacon-wrapped venison...
Whoa.
...dish with some kind of, like, raspberry jelly sauce on it.
Oh, weird.
It was really good.
So you don't cook, but your brother seems like a bit of a cook.
Yeah, he's a cooker.
Interesting.
And I'm an eater, so...
Yeah, nice.
Perfect. It works out all right.
Does Claire cook at all? Do either of you have any interest in cooking? I just started...
Claire cooks.
I just started cooking, and, like... You know, I've worked my way through breakfast food to, like, stir fry and stuff. Like, I'm sort of a low level cooker, but I like it. You know, it's
I could see myself getting into cooking in, like, the way that, like, you go to a job that you don't necessarily like because it pays you.
Okay.
Like, you cook
because you
get good food at the end of the day.
It definitely earns me points with my friends, I feel like, which is another reason why I like doing it, because it makes my friends happy. And, like, I like... Because
it makes your friends like you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly worried that my friends are just this close.
You're always on the edge.
Yeah, I'm on, like, thin ice.
Yeah. Take it from me. You're one step away.
Like, one step away.
I'm one bad French toast away.
Yeah.
From never talking to me again.
You're on the dunzo list.
Yeah. But I like the creativity involved in cooking, and I love the improvisation involved in cooking. Like, I remember making French toast for Steve a few days ago. He just moved in, didn't have, like, cinnamon or any, like, baking style spices for French toast. So, like, he had whole nutmegs for some reason.
Yeah, that was Beehive. That wasn't me.
And he had
one of my roommates.
He had, like, Special K cinnamon cereal.
Yep.
And I'm like, I can work with this.
And we just crunched it up and threw it. It was delicious.
It was so good. And that's, like, probably the only way I'm going to make French toast from now on is crunching up cereal and putting it in with the batter.
It's,
like,
really good.
It's really good. Yeah. And, like, I think it was Mikey or maybe my friend Ben who was like, this opens it up to, like, Lucky Charms and Cocoa Puffs and, like, different cereals you can add to French toast. But, like, yeah, I love cooking, and I love, like, the improvisation of it, and I love that it incorporates performance, and it's just cool. It's cool.
I think that's why Soma is such a likable, even though he's, like, kind of like a
he's kind
prick,
of a dick.
He's kind of a prick.
Yeah.
But, like, he's a likable prick because, like, his, like you mentioned before, like, his shtick is that he's very improvisational and very quick on his feet.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, like, when, like you're, like, a low, like, a beginner cook is kind of like, you're just kind of winging it and hoping that it works. And
yeah. And like, he just has, like, you know, a lifetime of skill, and...
Right. But, you know, who's counting?
But, like, kind of the cool thing is, like, because we saw last episode, he's never won a match against his dad. He has this desire to please and this desire to compete, which is also very appealing.
Yep.
Yeah, there's not too much I have to say about this episode. I think it's solid.
Yeah, it was good.
A little
slower than the first, but it was still, like, still really tense.
Definitely slower. The tension is still there. But, like, I feel... Because we're still on the slow drip as far as characters go.
Third episode. It's always third episode. You meet the gang.
Yeah, third episode is when you meet the gang.
I knew it!
But, like, I like everything it's doing. I don't feel like my interest in it is diminished, even though it is a slower paced episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you guys have any thoughts? Like any like we went pretty long in the first segment.
Yeah. Like no, I
Jimmy, I mean, how do you feel about the second episode?
No, I agree. It does slow down a bit, but I still not turned off on anime.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey,
so. That's like probably the best endorsement we can give it.
Yeah.
As far as
we can talk about it all. Nobody wants to listen to us. They want to hear new. They want to hear fresh blood.
Yeah. Well, we talk about what's a good starter anime a lot, and usually my answer is Silver Spoon, which is like a little more subdued and doesn't have like boobs and butts flying everywhere.
It's true.
But like, that's kind of what makes anime a little fun, like and strange.
Yes.
Is their weird relationship with sex?
I know you love Silver Spoon.
Yeah.
I don't think Silver Spoon's a good anime to start people with.
That's fair.
Because...
I've tried, and I agree. I don't think Silver Spoon's a super great anime to
start people with. Because... you're right. It's not... It's tame in that sense.
Yeah.
But it's not... I think people expect a little ridiculousness.
Yeah.
And, like... And, again, if you have an anime like this one that embraces it, and, like... And can do it well and not over the top. Like, yeah, there are boobs and butts and it's kind of silly. But, like, for the most part of it, it's, like, really intense action shots about cooking.
Yeah.
And like you said, cooking is universal. Like, everyone knows what cooking is and how cooking is.
But the way it's presented is in a very Japanese way.
Yes.
In that very sort of competitive, samurai-like...
Yep. I think that especially now with Jimmy, that Jimmy had a thing against anime, but he just never seen it. I think this might actually be a decent anime to start people on
because
a few times that like, you know, we're watching and like it was so ridiculous that he like Jimmy laughed and it was like a genuine laugh and it was like
because that's the thing is like I feel like it is. Ridiculous, but like you said, like there's like the ridiculous sexual aspect, but like it is kind of tied into like this is a metaphor, and like it makes sense, and like you can appreciate it as like this is funny and ridiculous, but also like it's like a coherent story.
Yeah,
to it. It's not like you're laughing at the show; you're laughing with.
And I just want to let you know that isn't the case with all animes.
Honestly, I have no idea what to expect coming in today, and I kind of expected that it might be either a little too out there or a little too, like, not... I feel like this was a good balance of, like, it was, like, a little out there, but it tied in well, and it was, like, an entertaining...
I think that's, and again, I know you love Silver Spoon. Yeah. Silver Spoon isn't as exciting.
Well, the reason...
As...
No, it's
for,
not.
For starters, it's not... That exciting for a starting anime.
No, it's definitely not, and you're right. And, like, I've kind of hit that wall with, like, new anime watchers where I want to show them Silver Spoon right away. Silver Spoon's an anime about farming. And it doesn't really have the wild, like, metaphors or visuals of Shokugeki no Soma. But it does have, like, these really deep questions about how we feel about food and how we feel about farming. That I enjoy, but the reason I like it so much is I think I've watched enough anime to know that it subverts a lot of anime tropes.
Yes,
but so does Shokugeki no Soma or Food Battle. We can call it Food Battle. It changes from Food Wars to Food Battle. I'm just gonna call it Shokugeki no Soma. You guys can deal with it.
Yep. Food battle it is.
Food battle it is. Well, the reason why I like Shokugeki no Soma is because...
Yes, food battle.
I get something out of it, which is it subverts the shonen ideas of competition as the decider of all disputes. This is later. Like, it dives deep into the tournament style of anime, which is like, you know, is competition a healthy thing for discovering, you know, the potential in people, or is it a discouraging thing that actually turns people away? And it deals with elitism, it deals with, you know, class struggles, but like, overall, it's about what power does food have over us? And it doesn't deal with that. It deals with a lot of things like sexuality and the relationships between high schoolers and even like relationships between families in a very tongue-in-cheek, comedy-oriented way. But it never deals with food in a way that suggests food isn't that big of a deal. It's like food is a huge deal.
And everyone loves it.
And good food can change your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that it chooses that one bit as its point of honesty. And that's kind of what keeps me around. Because I'm the depth guy, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, boobs and butts, please. I don't even want them. I just want to know that I'm smarter than everyone else.
Does that make me the boobs and butts guy?
Yup.
All right. I can deal with that.
We're almost out of beer.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
Yeah.
He's got like half a 40 left.
He's good. He's good to party.
Yeah. Jimmy's drinking. He's had quantitatively more beer than me, but I don't know. We're gonna continue the beer party well after we turn off the microphone.
Correct.
But I think it's time we just give a rating to this.
Yeah.
Have you guys said everything you want to say about Shokugeki no Soma Food Battle?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it.
We've covered it? All right. Knowing that I've watched, like, up to the current season and the current episode, I give this a recommend. I think this is a great anime.
I'm also going to give a recommend, especially having a non-anime viewer here, yeah, and, you know, seeing that that is technically our target audience, even though we only have two listeners.
Great.
I'm going to give this... Yeah. And one of them's here. Shit. Who's listening to this right now?
No one.
No, but I am going to give a recommend to this. I think this is a fun anime to start on. It gives you just enough wacky, just enough, like, interesting visuals to get you hooked.
Yeah. Jimmy, what do you think? Do you recommend?
I'd say recommend, too. Right. I mean, I've never seen an anime before, and I didn't hate it.
I think...
I had a good time watching it. It was enjoyable, and it was actually, like, above what I expected out of an anime. So
I am, like, so happy to hear you say that.
That is good. That is good.
I think, yeah, you can't not recommend something like that.
Awesome, man. Yeah. Well, I think that's it. I've been Kevin.
I've been Steve.
And I'm still Jimmy.
And we just watched Food Battle, Shokugeki no Soma, so we don't have to.
But do
what
you want.
Food Battle.
Food Battle! So, like, in Steve takes a big...
We should do a sound check. And by that, I mean, let's listen to Steve chewing on his shirt. Wait, ready? Hold on.
No, this will be good, right?
No, get a saucy one, Steve. Stealthy.
Nobody heard that, right?
No.